Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, just to go over how this whole sugya began, and we're going to continue through the sugya through the first half of today's daf, which is originally was a question where Rabbi Chanina ben Yosef, Rabbi Asi, and Rabbi Chir Ba'aba ended up in a pundak together, and the goy, or the owner of the pundak, shows up in the middle of Shabbat, and they wanted to know what to do. Rabbi Asi was of the opinion, ain't sochrim. You're not allowed to rent from him on Shabbat because socher kim ariv dummy. Skirut is the equivalent of making an eruv, and you can't do that on Shabbat. You can only do that prior to Shabbat. On the other hand, Rabbi Chanina ben Yosef was of the opinion that socher, you're allowed to rent out the property because socher kim mevatel rishut dummy. It's the equivalent of being mevatel rishut, and since it's mevatel rishut, that you're permitted to do on Shabbat. They return back home, and they asked Rabbi Yochanan what he thought about this, and he said, you did the right thing by being socher, by renting out the property, even on Shabbat. So now, with that in mind, we launched the sugyo. First question was, Tau ba Nardai. First question was, the Nardai said that Rabbi Yochanan himself said socher ki me'arev dami, and not socher ki bevatel rishut. There, the Gemara answered, that's only the kula. He said, socher ki me'arev is the kula, meaning it has all the kulot of a eruv. Someone can represent you, pachot mishave pruta, afilu schiro velikito can represent him. Then we had Rabbi Lazar, who also had an issue with Rabbi Yochanan, and that really stems from Shmuel. Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan argue about two issues. The first issue is this case, where Rabbi Yochanan says that you could be socher and mevatel rishut. Shmuel says that doesn't address the socher part, but he says you cannot be mevatel rishut in that case because he has a principle. You have to be oser ume'arev in order to be able to be mevatel rishut. And over here, the problem is that you might be osrim echad et hasheni, but you can't be ma'arev. Since you can't be ma'arev, that you can't do bitul. So that's the first machloka we have between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. In the case where the Nachwi shows up in the middle of Shabbat, can you be mevatel rishut? Rabbi Yochanan says yes, Shmuel says no. Second machloka we had between them is mevatel rishut mi chatzer lechatzer. Rabbi Yochanan says you can be mevatel rishut mi chatzer lechatzer, you can be mevatel rishut mi bayit labayit v'churva. Shmuel disagrees and says you cannot be mevatel rishut mi chatzer lechatzer, and you cannot be mevatel bayit labayit by churva. Within the context of Shmuel's statement that you cannot be mevatel rishut mi chatzer lechatzer, v'machloket abayin rovo. Abayi says that that's only true when you're talking about two adjacent chatzerot, chatzer that is next to another chatzer, petach menehem, but echad lifnim mizu, if you have a chatzer that's inside or captive to another chatzer, then you can be mevatel rishut. On the other hand, Rabba says, even in the context of echad lifnim mizu, chatzer lifnim mizu, even there are four possible cases of that situation, four permutations, and only one of those four permutations can you be mevatel rishut. That is, if the eruv is placed in the chitzona, if the eruv is placed in the outer chatzer, no matter what, you cannot be mevatel rishut, according to Shmuel lefi Rova, because whether it's the person who forgot on the inside to join the eruv, the person on the outside forgot to join the eruv, you can't do anything about it. If the eruv was on the inner chatzer, then if someone from the inner chatzer forgot about it, you can't do anything about it. But if someone from the outer chatzer forgot about it, then you can rectify the situation because we say, after the dasha, close the door and let the pnimi be on its own, work on its own, that they can have their eruv. Within that context, there's a machloket Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan at the end of the parak. Rabbi Kiva over there still says that the bnei chitzona have to be mevatel their reshut. Bnei chitzona have to relinquish their rights to that eruv on the inner side. Whereas the chachamim say that it's enough to say that your agency wasn't worthwhile to us. We only allowed you in on the eruv to improve the situation because we wanted to have access to the outer chatzer as well. Now that you messed that up, we don't want you as a part of this eruv. And that in itself dismantles the outer chatzer's rights to the inner chatzer. So Rabbi Kiva says you actually have to do bittul still. The Rachamim say you don't have to do bittul. So that's the case according to Rava where Shmuel says bittul reshut works mi chatzer de chatzer. That one unique case where you have a chatzer lifnim mi chatzer, they put the eruv in the inner chatzer and someone from the outer chatzer forgot. That's the one case. Now on that case, we had a statement that the pnimit is muteret. And the chitzona is asur. The outer one is asura. So now, that's what the Gemara picks up. The chitzona asura. Amar le Rav Huna, braid Rav Yeshua on the third line. The Rava. V'chi shakach echad min apnimit. V'lo yirev. When one of the inner people forgets and doesn't make the eruv, Amai shtehen asurot. Why are both of them asurot? V'vatel bar pnimit livnei pnimit. V'teite chitzona v'tishtare behadayu. So before we said that if you had the Eruv on the inner chatzer, and someone from the inner chatzer forgets to join the Eruv, you can't do anything about it. Because at this point, you can't have the inner person just be mevatel reshut to the inner place, because you still have the partners who are from the outer chatzer. They joined in your Eruv, they're partners. And so just being mevatel reshut to the inner people is not sufficient. So what are you going to say? Let's close the door, leave out the people from the outer chatzer. You can't do that because the outer people have rights to come into the pnimi because they're joined through the Eruv. So he said in that instance, both the pnimit is asura and the chitzona is asura. Over here, Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, says, why should that be? Let him be mevatel reshut to the pnimit, to the people in the inner chatzer, and then automatically that will be a bitul reshut to the chitzona. Because we have a machloket that we had earlier in the Masechta. When you're mevatel reshut, when you give up or relinquish control, do you have to relinquish control to each individual? Or can one party represent the Eruv? If you're mevatel reshut to one of the parties of the Eruv, is that sufficient? So if you believe the way that we believe the halacha, that you only have to be mevatel reshut, you relinquish control to a single individual, then when you relinquish control to the pnimit, to anybody in the inner part, or all the people in the inner part, then automatically you relinquish control to the people in the outer chatzer, without invoking mevatel reshut mi chatzer le chatzer, because you're joined through an Eruv. That Eruv now makes you into one party. As long as you've been mevatel reshut to one of the parties of the Eruv, that's sufficient. So Rav Huna Breda, Rav Yeshua says, I don't understand, Rava. In that case, why don't we just have him be levatel bar pinimit lebnei pinimit, keite chitzona v'tishtari v'adayu? And the chitzona should just be automatically joined in, and everything will be fine. Kiman, Rava says back to him, who are you saying this like? Ki Rabbi Eliezer. You are subscribing to that position, Rabbi Eliezer. Damar eino tzirich levatel reshut l'kol echad v'echad. That he doesn't have to relinquish control to each individual. By doing it to one individual or one party, that's enough. Ki gamino, Rava says, I made my statement alibi d'rabbonon. According to the Rabbonon, damar eino tzirich levatel l'kol echad v'echad. That you have to relinquish control to each individual. In that case, it won't work. Because even if you can relinquish control to pnimit, you can't be mevatel reshut to the chatzer ha-chitzona, because over there, it's mevatel reshut mi-chatzer le-chatzer. We already know, Shmuel says, ein mevatlin reshut mi-chatzer le-chatzer. Now, what about the same situation by the chitzona? What happens if you have the Eruv in the chitzona, and one of the bnei chitzona forgot? So why don't we say the same thing over there? Or why doesn't Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua ask the question there as well? Let the ben chitzona that forgot be mevatel reshut to the chitzona, and then it'll automatically carry over to the pnimit because they're joined through the Eruv. You could ask the question in the opposite direction as well. How come he only poses this question in regards to the pnimit and not with the chitzona? Tosafot answers that hocha leka dire chitzona bipnimit ele yedei Eruv. The only reason the chitzona has rights to the pnimit here is through the Eruv. Otherwise, the outer chatzer has no rights to come into the pnimit because they have no reason to go in there, and there's no reason that they should have rights there. Their rights are only granted through the Eruv. Therefore, when you're mevatel reshut in the pnimit, you can carry it over to the chitzona without any problem. On the other hand, in the case where the pnimit causes a problem for the chitzona because of their driset regel, they really have rights to walk through the chitzona. It's not just the Eruv that causes the, or grants them the right to go into the chitzona. They have rights that exist even if you had no Eruv there. And because of that, your mevatel reshut is not really being mevatel reshut just to the chitzona. It's also being mevatel reshut to the pnimit, their rights to access the chitzona. In that case, that's called mevatel reshut mi-chatzer le-chatzer. Because then you're really involving the pnimit, or the rights of the pnimit there, and that would be too much. So that's why Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua only posed this question with regards to our case here, where it's placed in the pnimit, and the pnimit forgot, not in the case where it was placed in the chitzona, and the chitzona forgot. Now, we have Rav Chista Rav Sheshet, who extend what we just discussed. Kipage v'hadodi, when they used to meet, Rav Chista Martan Siptutei Mematnaita v'Rav Sheshet, Rav Chista used to tremble. His lips would quiver from the b'kiyut of Rav Sheshet. He used to know all the Mishnayot. and he would ask him different mashneiot and ask him to solve the problem. Rav Sheshet Mirtat Pulei Gufei. His whole body would tremble, Mipu Pulei Derav Chisda, from the tremendous iyun or svara, the ability of Rav Chisda to answer kushiot and to come up with a way to reconcile stirot. So you have Rav Sheshet, who is Mr. Bikiyut, and you have Rav Chisda, who is Mr. Iyun, and each one of them fears the other. Nevertheless, they get together. Vayimine Rav Chisda, min Rav Sheshet. And Rav Chisda asks Rav Sheshet the following questions. Shnei batim, mishnei tzidei rishut abim. You have two houses on opposite sides of the rishut abim. So as far as we're concerned, these individuals have no interaction when we come into Shabbat. There's a Rishut HaRabim that passes right between them. There's really nothing they can do to join their properties. But, Uba'u Nachrim. In the middle of Shabbat, the Nachrim show up. Bikifu Mechitza. It's Shabbat. And they put a wall, they put some sort of Mechitza around them. And by doing so, they basically eliminate the Rishut HaRabim that is between them. We saw already earlier in the Gemara back on Daf Kof that Kol Mechitzot Anasot B'Shabbat Ben Shogei Ben Mezid Shema Mechitza. They have a full force or effect of a Mechitza, even though they showed up in the middle of Shabbat. Over here, Bevadai, where it was not done by a Jew, it didn't come out of the sky, it was placed there by the Nachrim, certainly there it is a good Mechitza. Now these two houses get surrounded by a Mechitza, the Rishut HaRabim is eliminated. But they have now that space that used to be the Rishut HaRabim, is common ground between the two houses. So without doing something now, they cannot carry into that common ground. How do they deal with that common ground? Mahu, what's the din? So Gemara says, Liba demanda amar ein bitul rishut mechatzer lechatzer. According to the one who says, there is no bitul rishut mechatzer lechatzer, that is Shmuel. Then, lo tibayla, there's no question over here. Hashto, di'ibau le'iruve metmol, matzi me'arve, amar ein bitul rishut mechatzer lechatzer. In the cases that we spoke about, for instance, two adjacent chatzerot, where they have a door between them, they had the ability to make an Eruv prior to Shabbat. And over there, despite that fact, Shmuel says, Ein bitul rishut mechatzer lechatzer. So even in the where there is a possibility of making Eruv before Shabbat, you don't allow it. Then over here, Hatam, by the Ruvim et Mol, had they attempted to make an Eruv yesterday, it would have been meaningless because it was a Rishut HaRabim. It wouldn't have worked beforehand. Hocha, Dibal Eruvim et Mol, Lomatzim Arve. There where they couldn't make an Eruv prior to Shabbat because it was a Rishut HaRabim, lo kol shekein. Certainly in that case, you can't have a bitul. Shmuel premises the whole ability to make bitul on Eruv, the ability to have an Eruv on Erev Shabbat. He says they both have to be Asurim before Shabbat and Me'arvim before Shabbat. You have to have both of those possibilities. Without either of those possibilities, it falls apart. And here, there was no possibility. They weren't Asurim before Shabbat, technically, because it wasn't even a Chatzer. But they were certainly couldn't be Ma'arei before Shabbat. So there certainly, we would say, Ein Bittul here. On the other hand, Kiti Vayeloch, where's your question? Aliba demand Amar, Yesh Bittul Rishut Mechatzer Lechatzer, who is Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan says you can do Bittul Rishut Mechatzer Lechatzer. So now, what's the din here? Hotom di Bayele Ruvei Metwal Matzeh Me'arvei. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan doesn't require both. He doesn't require you to both be Asurin on Erev Shabbat and Me'arvin on Erev Shabbat like Shmuel. But maybe he requires at least one. That either you were Asurim on Erev Shabbat, or you had the ability to be Ma'ariv on Erev Shabbat. Over here, you have neither. You have neither being Oser before Shabbat, because there was no Chatzer. And you don't have Ma'arivim before Shabbat, because they couldn't be Ma'ariv before Shabbat. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan argues on Shmuel and says, you're right, you don't need two things, Ma'arivim and Osurim. But you need at least one of them. And in that case, over here, it would be problematic. Hatam de boli aruve metmo matzim arve. You could have done at least one. Betule nami matzim mevato. Therefore, you could do bito. Avahocha lo matzim arve metmo betule nami lo matzim mevato. Here, where they can't do either, then there would be no bito. Odilma lo shna. Maybe it makes no difference. Rabbi Yochanan says mevato mechatzer lechatzer. That might be in any situation. So Amar Lei, this question was posed Rav Chisda to Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet answered him, Amar Lei ein mevatlin. You cannot be mevatel. So it would require at least one of the two items in order to allow you to bitul rishut. Since that's missing, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, there would not be bitul rishut here. Next case. Meit nachri b'shabbat mahu. Came into Shabbat, they didn't make an Eruv. They didn't make an Eruv because the nachri was living there. And they have to rent the property from the nachri. Now, they didn't rent the property from the nachri, no Eruv. Middle of Shabbat, the nachri passes away. Now, you don't need to be socher the property from the Nachri anymore. So can you now be Mevatel Rishut and be fine. Does that work in the middle of Shabbat? So Aliba demand Amar Sukhrin, according to the one who says you're allowed to be Sukhir on Shabbat, from the Nakri, Loti Bayaloch. There's no question here. That's Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Yosei, in the story, that's Rabbi Yochanan who says, Yafesh is Sakartem. So Hashta, Tarte Abdinan, Chadami Bay. Both of them permitted you both to rent from the Goy and do Bitul Rishut over there. That's what they said, that you acted appropriately. Over here, we only have to do one of the two. You don't have to be Sukhir, you just have to do Bitul Rishut. Certainly, it should work over here. So there, we don't have any question. Al-Giti Bayloch, where's the question? Aliba demand Amar ain't Sukhrim. According to one who says you're not allowed to rent on Shabbat, that was Rav Asi in the story by the Pundak, who said that Socher is ki me'arev dami. And it might have been the Taubo Narodai, Narodai who challenged Rabbi Yochanan from his statement of Socher ki me'arev dami. It seems they think by Pashtut that Socher cannot be me'arev. So those people who think that is, you cannot be Socher from the Nakri on Shabbat, this is our question. Tarte hu d'lo avdinan. We don't allow you to do both. We don't allow you to both rent from the Nakri and do Bitul Rishut on Shabbat. But ha chada avdinan. But over here, maybe when you only have to do one of those two, we would allow you to do, which would be Bitul Rishut. Odom aloshnar. Maybe it makes no difference. We don't allow you to do this on Shabbat at all. So they amar lei. So he said back to him, Ani omer, Rav Sheshit says, I said, mivatlin. You're allowed to be mivatel. As Rashi points out, v'ludamya l'hayi la'el. It's not similar to the case of Pundak. Because over here, they had the possibility of renting it on Erev Yom Tov and putting an Eruv together. In the case of the Pundak, they didn't have that option because the Goy or the Nakri wasn't there. He only showed up in the middle of Shabbat. They showed up in the middle of Shabbat. They didn't have the opportunity or the possibility of making Eruv on Erev Shabbat. That's why when it came to Shabbat, they were Oser. But over here, we'll differentiate and say that it's fine. You could do Bitul Rishut here because you had the possibility of doing an Eruv. Similar to what we saw in Shmuel's opinion. Shmuel's opinion, when the Gemara is asking what was the case, the Gemara says, well, if there was an Akri there before Shabbat, why can't you do Bitul Rishut? Logar, you can rent it from him. And the possibility of renting him from him before Shabbat makes it as if you could be Me'arev, that you have the possibility of Me'arev before Shabbat. So Tovia, the possibility of being married before Shabbat is sufficient to allow you to do Bitul on Shabbat, and that's why Rav Sheshit says Mivatlin. On the other hand, Rav Hamnuna says Ein Mivatlin. You cannot be Mivatel Rishut in this case. And as Rashi explained, Kevan di bo iruvi me'etmo lo matzi avde below schirut. Since you could not do the Eruv on Erev Shabbat without renting it, you're one step removed from being able to do an Eruv. You could make an Eruv on Erev Shabbat, you're right. But you can only do it after you rent it from the Nakhri. So does that change the status on Erev Shabbat? The fact that you could be Ma'arev only after rental, according to Rav Sheshit, that's fine. That's enough to call you could have been Ma'arev. On the other hand, Rav Amnuna says the fact that you still need to do the Schirut before you can make an Eruv on Erev Shabbat, that is classified as being Ois Eruv. You can't make an Eruv, and if you can't make an Eruv, then you can't be Mevatel Rishut on Shabbat. You can only do Bitul where you could have done an Eruv. Because Letil Kaman, we said before that a Goy is only a problem when he's present. If he's not present, he's not a problem. So even if someone inherits it or takes over the property, if they're not present, they're not an issue. By a Goy, he has to be present in order for him to be a problem. So even if someone owns the property now, that's not an issue. Tosafot raises a bigger issue, which he does not like Rav Rashi's explanation here of Rav Amnuna. He says the Gemara takes it as a Pashtut. Even within the din of Shmuel, that if the Nakhri was there before Shabbat, that's called the possibility that you had to be Maravin. That's what we saw before. The last line on Samach Vov and Aleph was, my love, Latuya Nakhri. Vid ita atad me'etmo, logar me'etmo. If he was there before Shabbat, then you should have rented it before Shabbat, and that's called Me'arvin. So if that's the case, how could Rav Luna come here and all of a sudden say, that's not called Me'arvin? Even according to Shmuel, we call that Me'arvin. So Tosafot says that the case here of the Nakhri dying on Shabbat is a double case. It's a case where the Nakhri showed up on Shabbat and died on Shabbat, unlike Rashi. The Bach tries to figure out what Rashi's saying, come up with a different solution, or say maybe he's even saying like Tosafot. But Tosafot, in order to solve that problem, says the Nakhri came on Shabbat and died on Shabbat. Now, when he came on Shabbat, you no longer have that possibility of saying that it was Eruv before Shabbat, because you couldn't have made an Eruv before Shabbat. Now he shows up in Shabbat, and then he dies. What's the story with that? And that's the machloket here between Rav Sheshit and Rav Amnuna. Are you allowed to be Mevatel Rishut at this point in time? Because if he came in the middle, he ruins whatever Eruv was in place there, even if they put an Eruv in place. And then there's no more Eruv. Say the Jews, they put together an Eruv, the Goy shows up, dismantles the Eruv. Now they want to take care of it. They have to be socher from him. Now you have to do socher and bitul reshut. But he dies, or he leaves, either one. Then they don't need the skirut anymore. They simply need bitul reshut. And that's the machloket here. Rav Sheshet says, bitul reshut alone? That's fine. No problem, because you don't have to do skirut, just bitul reshut. Go ahead and do that. Even though, technically, why were you able to be ma'ariv on Erev on Shabbos? Because there was no goy there. He wasn't present. And since he wasn't present on Erev Shabbat, you could have been ma'ariv. That's enough to allow you to do bitul reshut. On the other hand, Rav Amnuna says, wait a minute. Yes, you could have been ma'ariv on Erev Shabbat. But that Eruv is not a real Eruv. Because that Eruv is going to get dismantled as soon as the Nachri shows up. So that's not called having the ability to make an Eruv. You're still missing the skirut part. And when he dies now, you didn't really have the right to an Eruv, so you don't have the right to do bitul reshut. So that's the way Tosafot explains the machloket here. All right. That's the sugya of bitul reshut mechatzer lechatzer. Now we move on to another sugya. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Petach patuach lebika. So he has a house. The house has two egresses from it. One exit into the mavoi, and another one empties into the backyard, the valley, a huge area behind him. So he, as being part of the mavoi, is a problem for all the Jews in the mavoi, because they need to be socher reshut. They have to rent his rights to the mavoi in order to make a shituf mivot. On the other hand, if we consider him not to be a part or parcel or not to have utility in the mavoi, then we wouldn't have to worry about him. We could make a shituf mivot ignoring him. So what Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel says here is, if he has a doorway, at least 4x4 tefachim, which is more like a window, out to the bik'ah, then the bik'ah is a much more natural place for him to exit to, because it's more spacious, and he doesn't have anybody else there. There's no crowds, there's no traffic. He would definitely opt to use that door over using his front door into the mavoi. Because he has private access into a large span of area, he for sure would do that. And in doing so, he basically relinquishes his right to the mavoi. Not that he really does, but it's as if he relinquishes his right to the mavoi, and you do not have to be socher from him. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says. Nachri sheish lo petach arba'al arba'a patuch lebika. Afilu machnisu motzi gmalim v'gronot goleyom gulo, derech mavoi. Even if he's bringing in camels and wagons through the mavoi all day, ain't no sir al b'nei mavoi. He does not ruin it for the b'nei mavoi, my time. Why not? Bepitcha de me'achad lei b'hau nechle. The special private door that he has, that is much better for him. That's something that we assume has better utility for him. And that we consider to be his main exit. And so, since we can learn that to be his main form of egress from the house, then we don't count the doorway to the mavoi as being a real doorway. We have this in Chatzerot before, we had this in Mevaot before, where you had a mavoi that would make it a sur, and they had multiple exits from there. We said there, kofin al midat stone. We forced them to use the other exit, so they don't ruin it for the people who did make an Eruv, or did make a Shituf Mevaot. Even though they had access to it, we consider as if it's closed off, and we tell them to use the other exit, because we don't want to ruin it for the people who have that opportunity. So it's over here. We'll consider it as if he uses his main, quote-unquote, exit, which is the private doorway, and the back door, I mean, if he happens to use it, it's fine, but that's not considered to be his main form of egress. Therefore, he does not ruin the mavoi for the people that are living there. Now we have a question, which is, ibayluhu patuach l'karpaf mahu. If that back door that he has, that private door he has, does not open up into a bikah, which is a large swath of land, open area, rather opens up to a backyard that's fenced in, a karpath. What's the din there? So, Amar Rav Nachman Barami, Mishmei Dufana, says in the name of Dufana, Rashi says that means, Shishamim Rabo, Rabo Mi Rabo, means that through the Misora, Afilu Patuach Lir Karpath. Even if it's open up into a backyard, that's still considered to be his main exit, his main entrance, and he does not ruin it for the Bnei HaMavui. Rabba v'Rav Yosef d'Amrei Tarvayu. They come and qualify that statement. Nachri, Beit Satayim Oser, Yotermi Beit Satayim Eino Oser. Depends on the size of the backyard. If the backyard is up to a Beit Satayim, then we don't consider that to be his main form of egress or entrance, because it's just too small. It's a backyard. That's exactly what it is. Once you exceed Beit Satayim, then it looks much more like a Bika. And since it looks much more like a Bika, then we say that that it does become, that private exit and entrance becomes his primary form of egress or entrance to the house. On the other hand, Yisrael, it's just the opposite. Beit Satayim Einu Oser, Yoter Mi Beit Satayim Oser. In the case of the Jew obviously can join into the Shittif Mavot, but he didn't. And now he's Oser on the Bnei Mavoi because he didn't join into the Shittuf Mivot. What happens if he happens to have a private door out to his backyard? He has a private door out to his backyard. Will he use that instead of his exit into the Mavoi? It depends. Can he carry in his backyard or could he not carry in his backyard? If it's a karpach that is under a Beit Satayim, Beit Satayim or less, then we've said before, if it's hukaf, Beit Satayim or less, even if it's not hukaf l'dira, mutar to carry there. So in the case where it's less than Beit Satayim, he has access to his backyard in which he can carry. He will opt for that space rather than going into the Mavoi. Carrying the Mavoi versus carrying your backyard, he'll opt for carrying in his backyard, and that will become his primary place, primary exit, and the exit to the Mavoi will become his back entrance, and his private entrance to his karpav will become the main entrance. On the other hand, if it exceeds Beit Satayim, and it's not hukaf l'dira, according to Rashi, if it's not hukaf l'dira, if it's more than Beit Satayim, you can't carry there. So he would never opt to go to the Karpaf over going to the Mavoi. In the Mavoi, he could carry if he joins the Mavoi or the Shituf Mivot. In the backyard, it's useless to him. He can't do anything there. He can't carry there on Shabbat. So in that case, his main entrance and exit will be the one that goes into the Mavoi, and he'll ruin the Mivot for him. That's the way Rashi explains it. Rashi explains the case should lohu kaf l'dira. It's not a livable space there. And therefore, if it's under Beit Satayim, you get the go-ahead to make that the main entrance because he can carry there. So over Beit Satayim where he can't carry it because Chachamim called that a Karmelit, then his main entrance and exit will be to the Mavoi. Tosafot, on the other hand, says the case is here. The Ri says that if it's hukaf l'dira, if it was hukaf l'dira, even if Beit Satayim would be asur. Even if it was a small area, it would be asur. Forget about a big area being mutar. Even a small area would be asur. And that's despite the fact that if you have it hukaf l'dira, it's mutar to carry in it, even up to above Beit Satayim. Despite the fact that Reis says, that's not his main entrance anymore. Rashi says it was hukaf l'dira, you could even go over Beit Satayim, and it would still be his main entrance and exit, the private entrance, because he can carry there. And that would take him away from the Mavoi. On the other hand, the Reis says it only takes you away from the Mavoi when it works like the Mavoi. The Mavoi is empty space or an entrance-exit space that you use. So when you have a karpaf, shalu hukaf l'dira, that's equivalent to the Mavoi. But if you have an area behind you that's hukaf l'dira, then that area is designated for the house or the dira that's going to be there. That's not really your backyard. That's just another way to gain access to that area. And because of that, you would opt towards the Mavoi, even in a case where it's hukaf l'dira less than Beit Satayim, and certainly where it's more than Beit Satayim. Nari and Rashi argue about the case where it's hukaf l'dira, whether he would opt for that being his main entrance and exit. Rashi says yes. The Ri says no, because then it doesn't look like a Mavoi or empty space anymore. It looks much more like a dira, your house, and then you would opt towards the Mavoi. Vaymine Rova Bar Chaklai Miravuna. Patuach l'karpaf mahu. If it's opened up into a karpaf, what's the din? Amalei, we already said. Hari Amru, Beit Satayim Oser. Yoter Beit Satayim Einu Oser. That up to a Beit Satayim, it's problematic with regards to a Nachri we're talking about. Whereas above Beit Satayim, it's fine. It looks like a bika. Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Karpaf, Yoter Mi Beit Satayim, Shlo Hukaf L'dira. You have a Karpaf that's more than Beit Satayim, that's Shlo Kiyu Eftidra. Bafilu Kur, Bafilu Kuraim. Even if it's massive, even if it's the size of a Kur, which is 30 Sa'ah, Kuraim would be 60 Sa'ah. Hazarek L'tocho Chayav. If you throw an object from Rishut Rabim into there on Shabbat, you are Chayav. As far as the Torah is concerned, when you have an area that is surrounded by a mechitza, that is a reshut yachid, no matter what the size is. The Chachamim would go there that at a certain span, it's no longer considered to be a reshut yachid, but rather considered to be a karmelit. Why did they do that? Because they were afraid that if you had an area that was so big, and we allowed people to carry there, they would feel like that was a reshut rabim. That's like a public area. It's so vast and so big, it would feel like a reshut rabim. And if you carry there, you'd also think you could carry in the reshut rabim. So they answered, they said that you may not carry in an area that's more than Beit Satayim, if it's not hukaf l'dira, and that area is considered to be karmelit. What Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan is coming to say is, that's only a din d'rabbanan. Midoraita to reshut yachid. It's such a reshut yachid midoraita, that if you throw from reshut rabim into that area, you'll be chayav a chatat. Or you'll be chayav skila. That is considered to be moving Rishut HaRevi'im to Rishut HaYachid. So Midoraita Rishut HaYachid, Rabbanan imposed that it is a Carmelite. So you have an Iser Tiltul, but it's still called a Rishut HaYachid. That's basically what you have. You have a Rishut HaYachid with an Iser Tiltul in it. So Gemara says, Meiti Ravuna Bar Chinan, is that really true? Sela Shebiyam. You have this island in the middle of the ocean, Gvoa Asara, it's 10 tfachim high, Verochav Arba, and 4 tfachim wide, that makes it into a Rishut HaYachid. Then you can't transfer objects from it to the yam or from the yam to it. The yam has a din of a Carmelite. This is now Rishut HaYachid. Chamim say you're not allowed to move objects from a Rishut HaYachid to a Carmelite or a Carmelite to Rishut HaYachid. That we understand. Pachod Mikad. If it's less than that, meaning less than the 10th Vachim, Metaltalin, then you can't move the objects back and forth because now you have Carmelite and Carmelite. Something that's less than 10th Vachim high and 4x4 or 4 tefachim wide is a Carmelite. So now the Yam's a Carmelite, this little island is a Carmelite. You can move back and forth from Carmelite to Carmelite. You're limited that you can only carry 4 amot, but you still can move back and forth between them. Ad kama. How big can this island be? Ad Beit Sa'atayim. Until the size of Beit Sa'atayim. The Gemara says, ahai. On which two statements was this made of the Braita? The Braita had two cases. One case where it's a Rishut HaYachid, and one case where it is a Carmelite. And then we have a modifier or qualifier at the end of the Braita that says that's only true until Beit Sa'atayim. Which part of the Braita was it qualifying? Ilema Seifa, if it's talking about the latter half, Beit Sa'atayim Tvelo, why should it not be a Carmelite above Beit Sa'atayim? That's exactly where the Chachamim said it is a Carmelite. They said as soon as you exceed Beit Sa'atayim, it becomes a Carmelite. That's a classic case of Carmelite. So why should you have that qualifier? Elalav HaReisha must be it's on the first case. The first case says it's a Rishut HaYachid. V'achi Kamar. Tela Shveyam Gva Asara Rechav Dalad. Ein Metaltalin Lo Mitocho Liyam V'lo Min HaYam Letocho Ba'ad Kama. What's the limit on that? Ad Beit Sa'atayim. HaYetami Beit Sa'atayim Metaltalin. More than a Beit Sa'atayim, then you could carry it back and forth, which means Alma Carmeliti. Then it's a full-fledged Carmelite. Not only Mi Derabonon, but even Midoraita. The Midoraita does not have a status of Rishut HaYachid. It has a status now, or a non-status, and therefore the Chachamim called it a Carmelite. It's not called a Rishut HaYachid anymore. So you have to Rabbi Yochanan. That's a big problem. This undermines the thesis of Rabbi Yochanan, that above Beit Sa'atayim is really Rishut HaYachid, Midoraita, but the Chachamim imposed that it's a Carmelite. Over here, from the Braita, it seems like it's a full-fledged Carmelite, because you're allowed to carry back and forth between them. Amar Rava, Mandalo Yoda Terutze Matnita Tiyuvta Motivle. Rabbi Yochanan. He had a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Someone who doesn't know how to explain the Braita properly came up with the question. But if you explain a question properly, the Olam Aresha. It's going on the first case in the Braita, the case where it is a Rishut HaYachid. V'achi Kamar, Ha Bitocho Metaltalin Ke'ad Kama. In it, you can carry until what level? Ad Beit Sa'atayim. What Rava basically says is that there's a diyuk over here in the Braita. The Braita says you may not carry from the Yam to it, and from it to the Yam, when it's a Rishut HaYachid. So Rishut HaYachid, you're not allowed to move back and forth. Implying that in the Rishut HaYachid itself, you could carry. Is there any limit to how much you can carry, or how big it can be when you can carry? The answer is yes. Ad Kama. Ad Beit Sa'atayim, you can carry within that area. Until Beit Sa'atayim, it's a full-fledged Rishut HaYachid, both Midoraita, and Midrabanan means tiltul is allowed. Once you cross over Beit Sa'atayim, it's a Rishut HaYachid that won't allow you to carry back and forth from the Yam to it, but it's also too big, and the Chachamim classified that as a Carmelite, and you will not be able to do tiltul anymore. And that's what the limit was talking about. The limit's talking about that diyuk. Vashi Amar Lolam HaReisha on the Reisha, and the Reisha literally. It's not a diyuk out of the Reisha, but literally on the Reisha. Hein Amru Vehein Amru. We're dealing here with two Dinei Dirabanan. They are the ones who said that when you have a karpaf that exceeds Beit Sa'atayim, you're not allowed to carry in there. It's a Carmelite. When it exceeds Beit Sa'atayim, even though it's a Rishut HaYachid Doraita, Chachamim imposed on that the Iser Tiltul, that it's classified like a Carmelite, and you can't carry in that area. They also said, they also said you're not allowed to move objects between a Rishut HaYachid to a Carmelite. Midoraita, you could move back and forth between a Rishut HaYachid and a Carmelite. Chachamim made an Isur of moving between a Rishut HaYachid and a Carmelite. Now, Beit Sa'atayim Dishari L'Tultule Bikule Asrei Rabbana L'Tultule Lo Min HaYam L'Tocho V'lo mitochol yam. The Chachamim, when you had a Beitza Atayim where you're allowed to carry in it, then that instance, they restricted you from moving back and forth from the yam to it and it to the yam. So in a case where it's less than Beitza Atayim and it's a full-fledged Rishut Yachid, both Midoraita and Midrabanan, over there the Chachamim imposed their Gzeirah that you can't move from the yam to it and it to the yam. But once it exceeds Beitza Atayim and you cannot carry on that island anymore, because now it's a Carmelite, there the Chachamim did not impose their decision, and you can carry back and forth between them, even though it's a real Rishut Hayachid Midoraita, my taima, Rishut Hayachid Gemurahi, because there it's Rishut Hayachid completely. Yet there mean Beitza Atayim. When you get above a Beitza Atayim, the sur l'tutulei v'kulei, then you can't carry anywhere in it. Sharubanan l'tutulei mitochol yam min hayam l'tochol. Then they allowed you to carry back and forth from the yam to it and it to the yam. My time, huh? Why did they say yes, that you can carry? In general, they wouldn't allow you to carry from a Shuta Yachid to a Carmelite. How come over here they waived that din? The answer is because otherwise you'll have a big problem. Because otherwise, Dilma Amre Rishuta Yachid Gemurahi. The problem is, if you don't allow people to carry back and forth from the yam to the island and island to the yam, what are people going to think? Why can't I carry back and forth between the yam and this island? It's because it's a Rishut Hayachid. And if I think it's a Rishut Hayachid, that means that when it's greater than Beitza Atayim, I'm going to think you can carry around in that area. So you have two Gzeirot, or Takanot Chachamim, that are coming into conflict. You have one which is, when it's more than Beitza Atayim, we say don't carry in it anymore. Why? Because it looks like a Rishut HaRabim. If it looks like a Rishut HaRabim, people are going to think you can carry in Rishut HaRabim, because it's just too vast. The other Gzeirat Chachamim is don't carry between Rishut Yachid and a Carmelite. Why do they say that? Because if you think you can carry from Rishut Yachid to Carmelite, you'll think you can carry from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim. So now we have a problem. We come into a situation where you have the Yam and this vast area. Now, if we tell you you can't carry from the Yam into this area, you're going to think this area is a Rishut Yachid. This vast area is a Rishut Yachid and you're going to carry throughout it. If people see people carrying in this vast area, they're going to make a mistake and think you can carry in Rishut HaRabim. On the other hand, if we say do carry, then people are going to think you can carry from a Carmelite to a Rishut HaYachid or Rishut HaYachid to a Carmelite. So that would be a factor. But then we protect against them thinking this is a Rishut HaYachid. So the Gemara is going to ask the basic question is, why did you pick one over the other? How do you know which Gzeirah to trump over here and which one to subvert to the other Gzeirah? The Gemara says, Maishna. What's the difference? Says the answer is tocho shchiach. The case where you have something that exceeds Beitza Atayim that has a mechitza around it, that's a common case. And over there, we want to protect against the common case. Chachamim are gozer in common situations. Mitocho liyam, yam letocho lo shchiach. Carrying from an island into the ocean and the ocean into the island, that's an unusual case. And the Chachamim don't press their gzeirot in that case. So we have to choose between which gzeirah to uphold here versus which one to subvert. We're going to pick the one that's shkiach. The one that's shkiach is when you have a vast area and it's considered to be a Rishut Hayachid Midoraita. Over there, we're going to say Asur L'Tultulei. That's the most common case. That's where the Chachamim upheld their Gzeirah, no matter what. On the other hand, they're going from the Yam to it and it to the Yam. Over there, the Chachamim are not going to uphold their Gzeirah when it might undermine the other Gzeirah. And here, it's going to undermine the Gzeirah of greater than Beitza Atayim. You're not allowed to carry there. And we don't want to do that because that's a shkiach. That's a common case. So we'd rather subvert the case of yam to it into the yam because that's not a common case and that won't ruin that gzeirah in general. So we wave one gzeirah to protect the other gzeirah and we pick the one that's more shkiach to uphold. Tosafot brings from the Beinu Tam an amazing case here. He says, what happens if the person is walking through a Rishut HaRabim, but it's not a real Rishut HaRabim? It's like the Rishut HaRabim like we have today, which is everything outside. All the roadways are Carmelite. Everything is a Carmelite. And now he has a gina. He has a garden next to his house. And the garden is Yoter Mibeit Satayim. And it's also a Carmelite. So what does he want to do? He needs to get the key to his house. And in their day, you can't carry the key because it's a Carmelite. The Rishut HaRabim, quote unquote, is a Carmelite. He can't carry his key to shul, bring it back to open up the door. So the only option is to hide the key near the house and then bring it in. If he hides it right by the door, not such a great hiding place. But if he puts it into his garden, then if he hides the key there, that'd be a great hiding place. And when he comes home, he'll lean over the fence from the Rishut HaRabim, grab his key out, and then open up his door. Can he do that? So the Rabbeinu Tam says, from our sugya here, you can do that. Afu pisha omed bechut. Even though he's standing out, no te mitocha gina, oli to mitocha lechut. That's exactly this case. The ability to move back and forth from a Carmelite to a Carmelite, less than Dalet Amot, has a purpose. Why would you want to do it? Exactly this case. You're standing out in this quote-unquote Reshut Rabim, which is a Carmelite. Your key's hidden in your backyard, which is a Carmelite. And you're standing by your door. You reach in over there, pull the key out, and open up your door. And you can't do it. The Rabbeinu Tam was matir in that case, based on our Gemara here. Because they have the Yeter Bebetz at times, two Carmelites that are adjacent to each other. You can carry back and forth between them. That's why this ability to move back and forth has purpose. I mean, that there's value to it, even though you can't carry Dalet Amot. That's the case that Rabbeinu Tam was matir. I'm sure in their city, that's what they did with the keys on Shabbat. And so now, next case. How Yenoka Dishtapech Chamimei? They had this child who they were going to do a brit milah for him on Shabbat. But the hot water they had in store for him in order to take care of him after, to wash him after he had the brit milah, spilled. Now they no longer have any hot water. And obviously, it's a case where they didn't have an eruv, they didn't have a shituf mivot, they want to move the hot water to get it to the baby. Now obviously, if they had done the brit already, it's sakanat nefashot, pikuach nefesh. And in that case, we say kol azariz, get the water as fast as possible. There's no question over here. Our question really comes up in the situation where it's prior. You haven't put him into the sakanat nefashot yet. Do we allow you to violate the Yisurei Derabanan in order to get the hot water? So that was the question that was posed here. Amar lo Rabba, Rabba says to him, Naitulei chamimi migo beitai. Go take the hot water out of my house and bring it to them. Amar lo Abaye, v'alo arvinon. We didn't make an Eruv. So how could you do that? We don't have an Eruv chatzerot here. So Amar lo nismocha shituf. Fine, we didn't make an Eruv chatzerot, but we're part of the shituf mivot. And the shituf mivot, bidi eved, could double as the Eruv chatzerot. You're supposed to have both an Eruv Chatzerot and a Shituf Mevot, but technically, if you join the Shituf Mevot, it can double as your Eruv Chatzerot, because it's the same thing, it's the same idea, it's just on a grander scale. We say don't do that, Shalot Tishtachach Torah Teruv, so you still have to do our Eruv Chatzerot. But in this case, B'diyeva, we still make on the Shituf Mevot. You would understand why you wouldn't want to move the baby. If that was his house, that was where the Molo's knife was, maybe, the Kiddush is already prepared there. So then they have the shituf mivot. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says back to him, guess what? We don't alo shatvinan. We didn't make a shituf mivot. Now the chatzer happens to be an area where Abaye and Rabba live. They live in this chatzer together. And the baby's house is there as well. Maybe other people. So Rabba keeps saying, all right, well, deal with the Erev Chatzerot. Abaye says, we don't have an Erev Chatzerot. And then he says, oh, use the shituf mivot. Abaye says, we don't have a shituf mivot. And so the Gemara will get back to this in tomorrow's daf as to what exactly was going on in the chatzer. They didn't have all these items. Exactly. That's the Gemara's question on tomorrow's daf. It's exactly that. But now Abai gives it then. He says, all right, tell a Nachri to go bring it. Get a goy and have the goy bring it, water from my house over to the house where the baby is. So Amar Abaye, by Lutve, Lamar. I had another question on Rabba. I was going to stop Rabba this time. Velo Shapkan Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef didn't let us do this because it didn't let me answer the question. Remember, Abaye is a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef. He happens to also be a Talmud of Rabba because Rabba, after Abaye's parents passed away, Abaye and Rabba were learning by Rabba. And there's stories about them with Rabba. So Abaye is Rabba's Talmud, is also Rabbi Yosef's Talmud. So here he's about to pose a question to Rabba about him using the Nachri. Rabbi Yosef intervenes and says, don't ask the question. Now why not? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Kahana, Ki Avinan Bei Rabbi Yehuda. When we learned by Rabbi Yehuda, Haval Amarlan, he told us, Bidoraita, when it comes to an Iser Doraita, Mudvinan, Tiyufta Vahadar Abdina Maise. You see somebody about to do something, you first ask the question. If you have a question, if a Talmud has a question, he can raise his issue prior to them executing on their psak. So he does a psak alocha, he's going to act on this psak alocha. If there would be a violation of Doraita, we say to the Talmud, speak up and ask your question before it happens. Whereas, b'drabonon, when it's a issue d'rabonon on a rabbinic level, avdina maase, first we do it, v'adar matzvinin tiyufta, then you ask the question. Do whatever you have to do, and then ask the question. That comes back to the cases that we had in the pundak, why they acted, and then only ask the question later, because all those cases are issues d'rabonon. So over there, they had questions and issues d'rabonon, they acted, and then they asked the shaila, when they got back, they asked the shaila, did we do the right thing? So there, they're able to act, because of an issue d'rabonon. Over here, we're dealing with a chatzer. A chatzer is only restricted midrabbanan. And Amir le'akum is also only a din derabonon. So we're only dealing in dinei derabonon. So over here, Abaye has a challenge to Rabba saying, use the Nachri. Rabbi Yosef says, pipe down. Let him do it. And afterwards, you'll ask the question. So that's exactly what happens. And so Amalei. So then Rabbi Yosef says to Abaye afterwards, what was the question you're going to ask? After they got the hot water, he says, okay, now ask your question. So my by the Otsvei the Mar, what were you going to ask Mar, Mar being his Rebbe Rabba? What were we going to ask Rabba? Amalei, the Tanya, we have a Braita. Hazah Shvut. V'amir le'nachri Shvut. Hazah is sprinkling on a Tameh, making him Tahor. That is an Isur D'Rabbanan. You may not perform that on Shabbat because it's like a problem of Binyan or Shinui Kli, where you're changing the status of the individual Tameh to Tahor. Takin Kli, Takin Gavril. We don't allow you to do that on Shabbat. So you're not allowed to sprinkle him on Shabbat. V'amir le'nachri Shvut. And Amir le'akum is also only an Isur D'Rabbanan. Mahazah Shvut v'ino dochet Shabbat. Just like Hazah is only an Isur D'Rabbanan and we don't allow you to violate Shabbat. For instance, in a case where he is Tamei and he can't bring his Korban Pesach. It's Erev Pesach that's on Shabbat. He needs to become Tahor to bring his Korban at Pesach. We say, sorry, we can't sprinkle you on this day. So then he's stuck. He won't be able to bring his Korban Pesach. Too bad. Isur Chachamim to do Hazah on Shabbat. We don't waive that on Shabbat. So same thing also over here. Af Amir L'Nachriv Shvut V'Eino Dochet HaShabbat. So too, Amir La'akum is only a din d'rabbanan, and we're not going to waive that on Shabbat. So over here, has Rabba using the Nachri on Shabbat, even though it's Brit Milah, which is a din, a chiyum karet, nevertheless, if we're omeid a din d'rabbanan b'makom karet of a korban of Pesach, so too over here, we should be omeid the din d'rabbanan of Amir La'akum in the face of the karet of the Brit Milah. You won't do the Brit Milah. Samar Leish, Rabbi Yosef says to him, no, you didn't get it right. Good thing you didn't ask the question. Below Shani Lach, ben Shvut to eat Beimaseh, the Shvut to late Beimaseh. There's a big difference between a din d'rabbanan where you're asking the goy to do an action, to do a real violation of Nisu Doraita, versus where he's doing something that is subpar malacha. Da mar, Rabba lo amar lo nochri zilachin. He didn't tell the goy to go warm up the water, to go heat the water on Shabbat. That's a full-fledged Nisu Doraita. There, maybe we would say Amir La'akum, we would put up the din d'rabbanan and say we won't violate Shabbat. Over here, all he asked him to do was be metaltel to carry. Now, it could be one of two things. He could have said to him metaltel, and this is like the Rabbeinu Tam that we saw in the Gemara in Shabbat many times, that it's a malacha grua. It's not a real malacha. It's just something, the Torah has asserted it, and therefore it's a malacha grua, it's a malacha on Shabbat, it's one of the 39 malachot. But it's not a real malacha. There, Amir La'akum is okay. Or, you could say that's within the chatzer. It's not even an Isur D'Oraita. We're not even talking about the Malacha of Karen. Then that simple tiltol, which is an Isur D'Rabbanan. Then that a Shvut to Shvut over here. That's not real Malacha. And the Shvut to Shvut, there we have a dispensation to allow the Nachri B'Makom Karet to do it. And so we tell the Nachri, carry it in the case where it's tiltol. One of those two explanations, Rabbi Yosef says there is a distinction here in Amir L'Akum, and we invoke that distinction. That's why Rabbi was allowed to use Amir L'Akum here, in order to bring the hot water for the baby and to perform the brit, and that's different than hazaah. So it was a good thing I stopped you and said by dinner your and let him do it. Now the truth is, even if Abaye had a good question, we still wouldn't let him do it and then ask the question afterwards. But here it turns out Abaye's question was still problematic even after the fact it wasn't a good question. So certainly Rabba's suggestion was a good suggestion. Then the Gemara will move on from here and try to figure out how could it be that Abaye and Rabba live in an area, in a chatzir together, and they don't have a Eruv Chatzirot, and they don't have a Shituf Mivot. Okay, we'll stop here.